Okay, so we have a really fascinating stack of reports in front of us today, all about the future of epigenetic editing.
Right.
Our mission here is to really figure out how biology is moving from editing, you know, the hardware of life to rewriting the software.
And that's the perfect analogy for it.
I mean, everyone knows CRISPR. It's the molecular scissors, won a Nobel Prize for cutting DNA.
Of course.
But the big story in these reports is that the next revolution is about not cutting the DNA at all.
Exactly. That's the core shift. We're moving away from hacking the actual sequence, the hardware, and instead we're focusing on the epigenome.
The software layer.
Yeah. Think of your genome as a computer's operating system. The files are all there on the hard drive, but the epigenome, well, that determines the permissions. It controls who has read-write access.
So to stop a buggy program, you don't need to smash the hard drive.
No.
You just revoke its access privileges.
Yeah.
The tool they're using for this is, I mean, it's just brilliant. They've taken the Cas9 protein and made it into dCas9.
Or dead Cas9.
Dead Cas9, yeah. It sounds a little ominous, but it's actually the key to the whole thing. It can't cut anymore.
The cutting ability is gone. It's purely a delivery vehicle now, a programmable one. It drives to a specific address in the genome. But instead of carrying scissors, it's carrying effectors.
A chemical payload.
A payload, right. These can be writers that add methylation to, you know, silence a gene, or they can be erasers to wake one up.
And it's not just chemical tags, is it?
No.
I was reading, they can physically twist the histones.
Oh, yeah. The spools that the DNA winds itself around, they can pack the gene away so tightly that the cell just literally can't read it anymore.
Which brings us to what I think is the biggest aha moment in these sources, this hit-and-run phenomenon.
Yes.
In normal medicine, the drug has to stay in your system to work. But here, they just need to make the edit one time.
The durability is incredible, and it's because of something called heritable memory. Once you change those software permissions, the cell's own maintenance machinery just takes over.
It's like the cell has a built-in photocopier, right? There's an enzyme, DNMT1.
That's the one. It sees the new instruction and just copies it every single time the cell divides. So the drug can leave, but the instructions stay.
And there was that landmark study in mice, the one targeting the PCSK9 cholesterol gene.
A perfect example. They gave a single treatment. The drug was gone from the system very quickly. But the genes stayed silenced for nearly a year.
Wow, a year.
And even when the liver cells regenerated, they passed that off switch to every new cell. The software update was, for all intents and purposes, permanent for that tissue.
And this is already moving out of the lab. I mean, look at Tune Therapeutics. They have Tune 401 for chronic hepatitis B.
Right, which is so smart. Instead of trying to cut the virus out of the liver, which is a nightmare,
you just put it to sleep.
You just methylate the viral DNA, put it into a permanent sleep mode so it can't cause any more trouble.
And Epic Bio is doing something similar for muscular dystrophy, for FSHD.
Yeah, that disease is caused by a toxic gene, DUX4, waking up when it shouldn't be. Their therapy, EPI-321, is basically a repressor. It just goes in and turns that gene back off.
The huge advantage here is that you're not, you know, you're not shattering chromosomes because you're not cutting. You can do this thing they call multiplexing,
which is the holy grail for complex diseases.
You can tune 5-10 genes at once, turn some up, some down. You could never do that with scissors without just shredding the DNA to pieces.
Absolutely not. But I mean, this is where the sources really pivot to something massive. If we can turn genes on and off for disease, what about for time itself?
Epigenetic drift.
Epigenetic drift. The theory that aging is, in part, just the loss of those software instructions. Your cells forget what they're supposed to be doing.
And this is where companies like Altos Labs come in with partial reprogramming.
Using a set of factors OSK, they're called to reset the cell's age. But you have to be so careful.
Right, because you don't want to reset a skin cell all the way back to an embryo. That's how you get tumors.
You have to pulse it. Just briefly turn on these reprogramming factors. You can reset the age of the cell to a more youthful state without erasing its identity. It's still a skin cell, just a younger one.
And they've already used this to restore vision in primates with glaucoma.
By making the optic nerve cells young again, it's astounding.
It's a complete paradigm shift. We're moving from, you know, irreversible genetic surgery to tunable, reversible control.
We're not just fixing typos in the code anymore. We're learning how to actually play the instrument of the genome.
So here's the final thought to take with you. If we can reset the epigenetic age of our cells without ever touching the DNA code itself, are we moving toward a future where biological aging becomes a treatable condition rather than an inevitability. Thanks for diving in with us.